Hallelujah. Can we? This has been an orthodox service anyway. Do you know why he said order in the church? Because, you know, the prophets would speak
sometimes. You didn't read any scripture that first service you prayed.
You mean I didn't open the Bible? No, you're right, I didn't. Have you ever heard of a living epistle? Besides, in the early church, what do you think? They had Bibles in their laps. They were lucky if they could read. If the preacher had a script from the local synagogue that promised Jesus, they thought they were blessed. So when they went home, you know, their food was the apostles and the prophets that came and the pastor who was taught. That's why they talk about the prophets and they'd say, let the first speak and the others stand by and judge. We hardly even know how that gift really works. When I first started prophesying, I just thought I was teaching real good. Because there was no, yeah, thus saith the Lord. But the prophets were a pretty powerful source of revelation knowledge in those days. That's why they set the order they did into the church with them. In Romans, he says that the prophets prophesy in proportion to the faith that's given them. How could that be? I thought he just took you over and you had no choice. How would you prophesy in proportion to faith given you? See? So I didn't know. Now the teaching gift is very powerful. You can have just tons of mystery stored in you, revelation. The teaching gift will go up and get your mind. Then it'll go get a revelation out of the stockpile. And it'll bring it up. And you can take it line by line and put the same image that's in you in them. And that's a teaching gift. Difference between that and prophesying. Sometimes Jesus will come and he will have a word for the church. It'll be his mind for the church for that hour and that location. And when he had come, at first I thought, whoa. Whew, all of a sudden it shifted. And I'm thinking, you are teaching good. Take some notes. And come to find out later, it wasn't even me. But I didn't understand prophecy, but I do now. And that's what they were talking about in the early church, that people do not understand. See? So they had no Bibles. A vast, vast source of that revelation knowledge. Was Paul gives some of the keys, and the revelation I picked up was mostly out of his teaching. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. He even transfers the authority to you. He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but to who? But unto God. How be it? Analytical word. In the spirit, he speak in mysteries. What mysteries is he speaking? The mystery of everything Jesus is in you, through you, for you. The hope of glory. He said, well, this man speaking mysteries. Then he explains the difference between praying in tongues and the simple gift of prophecy. He said, for he that prophesy edifies the church. Why? I say, yea, thus saith the Lord. And the mind of Christ merges for the crowd, for the moment, for the city, for the church. You're edified collectively because his mind was made manifest to you collectively. But then in the very next verse, very next one. First he says, he that prophesies edifies the church. And he says, but he that speaks or prays in unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Why? The reasons are the same. The church is edified because collectively, suddenly, they know the mind of Christ. Well, why are you edified? Because as soon as you pray one of those mysteries up, his mind will manifest in you individually, and you will know what his will is. Now, think about that. I just love it when we get people up and use them for visionaries. Well, to look at. Why don't we go back in the eons of time? God, the Godhead was around him. You know, his right hand was the mighty Logos, whom we now come to know and love as Jesus. And that mighty Jehovah's left hand was, of course, the mighty Holy Spirit. There's three persons in the Godhead that makes up the one and true living God. All three of them are of one essence that has nine attributes. These nine attributes are sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, love, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. That is the nine attributes that makes up the one essence of the Godhead. They all possess it. They coexist tri-equally. Nothing diminished from each other. Nothing. They have coexisted tri-equally forever. There's no time they have not been. You could go back 85 trillion light years, and when you get there, He will already have been there forever. For our creation, He took on roles that you and I could understand Him by, which an anthropomorphism is characteristics God has assigned to Himself by which you can understand Him, such as the Father, the Son. But the Holy Spirit is not an anthropomorphism. So now they're sitting around, and the Father, He says, look, I would like to have a family. And the mighty Word is at His right hand. He says, well, you plan it. You plan it, and all, for He created all things through Christ Jesus. You plan it, and I'll go do the work. And the Holy Spirit says, well, you know, if you go do the work, I'll be the power that brings it to pass. Let's all get on this. So they created everything, and finally it come time to put the man in the garden. And all of a sudden they decided to just run ahead a ways and check a little bit, and they go, oh no. God the Father says, oh no, it's going to fall. We give them free choice and it's going to fall. What are we going to do about that? And the mighty Logos says, okay. Well, at that time, I'll go give my life and I'll redeem them back. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, well, if you do that, I'll go do the work. I'll be the regenerator. All right. So they said, we fixed that, didn't we? So all of a sudden, they go a little bit further ahead and look. And they said, well, look at this. Even though they have a new nature that's freedom from sin, just because they're wearing that body, look at them. They don't know anything, and they're running around sinning yet. What are we going to do? So they get into conference, and they says, well, I don't know. What are we going to do? So finally, the Holy Spirit says, well, hey, I'll go baptize them and live, and I'll be the power to help them live right. Hey, yeah, that'll fix it. So they look ahead, and even though there He was sitting in them with all that power, they still run around doing that stuff. I said, what are we going to do? Oh, God. Oh, I'm Him. Okay. What are we going to do? So finally, the Holy Spirit comes up. He said, okay, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring a prayer language with me from heaven, and I'll even do their praying for them. Do you think we could get them to pray? He says, I don't know. Let's don't look ahead this time. I'll even take the understanding of it away from them, so they won't know what they're praying for until it's too late. You want to be a stronghold? Come up here, you. Strongholds are us. I got this stronghold. Go ahead and... ow! Ow! Hi, people. Is it time for church yet? It's time. Okay. Hi. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Ho, ho, ho. I start praying in tongues. The stronghold don't like it too good. But he jumps on me all the time. I thought I made it further than that. Finally, I break away for periods of time. Oh, it feels good to be free. Oh, like preacher guy I knew came to Australia with us. He kept disappearing. We found him down on the beach, and later we found out why they had a nude beach. Anyway, I'm just so free, and I walk within range of it again. Oh, so I'm a kid. I don't think this stuff works. But I decide I'm not going to stop. So eventually I break away from him. This time he don't turn loose. I break away. So get you. Crack. Crack. So I'm not going to much. So the casa. So to corso. Horso do bocasa. Soto Kazaske, I break away from it. And finally, he's able, after I pray myself past it, to open my eyes so I can get a good look at what it was that stopped me, that God finally was able to unveil to me because I prayed myself out of it. And now I am free. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm free. Well, what did he say? He that searches the hearts, yes, that's the Holy Spirit, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
How come he said mind of the Spirit and not plan of God?
Because plan of God just for us is over 7,000 years that we know of. But when he said he knows what the mind is, it was that mind for the generation that you're living in, for your life, for his plan, for your city, for your church. So he that searches your heart knows what that mind is. So it enables him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. And then we can know all things will begin to work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because whether the devil likes it or not, you're turning everything that's not supposed to be in your path out of your path, and you are walking down. It doesn't have the power to stop you. I remember when cakes came from scratch, so I'd have to go out the chicken pen and get some. What's that cake made from? Scratch. Took me a while, but I got it. I said, no, cakes come out of boxes. Oh, no, this is going to be a cake. I says, not in my book. If I stick my finger in gall cocoa that don't have sugar in it, because you think, what's this, flour? God, you think he's going to make a cake out of this? You really do, don't you? You better go get a box. I said, get out of my kitchen, come back in a couple of hours. Okay. I go out of the kitchen, she mixes it all together, throws it in the oven. I come back. All right, where's the cake? Pulls it out of the oven. Smells real good. That's not that mess you had sitting over there. You went and got a box, didn't you?
That's my cake. Now you eat some or you won't live. Okay.
Oh, this is really good. That's right. No matter what hell throws at you, God can intercept it, mix it all together, and he gets done. You'll come out smelling like a cake. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's such an exciting path to walk on. Edify yourself daily. And he fixed it. You could be doing your job a lot of times. Whatever you're doing. I finally, you know, there was something about warring tongue. I mean, I've seen everything in this movie.
I have a warring tongue.
I said, you do?
Yes.
Well, how does that work? Well, they scream. I got so tickled I fell down laughing. You think it does any good to add your emotion, your growling, and all that stuff to that language as it passes through your spirit? You add all that emotion, does that make you say something else? He's not listening to how you're presenting it. He's listening to what you're saying.
Well, what if I whisper?
He's not hard of hearing. In fact, if you're going to pray a whole lot, I recommend it for your vocal cord. Whisper. He can hear you.
You mean the warring tongue does no good?
Does no good whatsoever. You're going to get the same results. Somebody says,
well, make a difference if I pray real fast.
Does it make a difference if you talk real fast? Some people can say twice as much in 5 minutes. Did those tongues? Yes, they were. Well, can you interpret them? You have 5 minutes? Listen, he fixed this so you could go about your business, use your mind. All he wanted from you was the authority that you walk in, because you're the body, he's the head. He has authority where you do. Where you have hands, he's got hands. You got a mouth, then he's got a mouth. He needs your authority. So what he does, if I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, my me, mine, mine, unless I own the Holy Spirit. I don't. Do you have him? Then I guess I don't own him. Because I'd hug him. If I, Dave Roberson, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But at the same time, he said, while I'm doing this praying, my understanding's unfruitful. Well, then that leaves my mind to do other things. Oh, so nano goshia. I remember I was walking down a river with my head down, kicking evergreen rock. Oregon. The little river was low. There's another one. So do bore chumada kit chu wiki. And I looked up, and this guy was watching me with a... He had a horrified look on his face. I started towards him. He ran like a maniac. Thought I was the one crazy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says, he that prays in this unknown tongue edifies himself.
Does the devil know what I'm praying?
Well, if you don't, that wouldn't be fair, would it? I'm going to beat them up tomorrow because this is what they'll be doing. Well, they'll stop you. Well, they don't know it. How would that work? Does he understand what I'm praying? He had the outer court, which is what it's a type of, where the people ministered to God. Inner court where the priest did. But only the high priest once a year could enter into the holiest of holy with the blood of animals. If he wasn't accepted, he had to wear a bell. The bell would quit ringing, they'd get a long hook because nobody's going in after it. Drag him out dead. So only that high priest was allowed in the holiest of holy with the atoning blood. That's a type of my outer man. The flesh is the outer court. The inner court is my soul. But the holiest of holies is my born-again spirit. And the devil is not allowed in there. If he ever breached the veil, God would take his head off at the shoulders. He is not allowed. That's where the language originates. And he has no idea what you're saying. None whatsoever.
Well, Brother Robertson.
What? Little voice of unbelief, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 13 and 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, profits me nothing. See there? You can pray in tongues all you want, and if you don't walk in love, it won't do you any good.
That's not what it said. What it says is, I'm able. I can be baptized in. Have you ever met anybody that's baptized in the Holy Spirit? Can speak with tongues, but they're mean as a snake? Oh, I can do that. But there's one thing you can't do. Habitually pray for hours every day and stay that way.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you where he's taking you. Every time it was time for another key. You want to know what's on those CDs and FBIs? DVDs. Every time he came and gave me another key. When it was time to add that key to my life because of edification. Like praying in tongues can't give me what fasting does. But then again, fasting can't give me what praying in tongues does. Praying in tongues is a foundational revelation gift. So when it's time for fasting to give me only what it can, then he adds that key. Boy, can I remember when he opened fasting up.
Why couldn't I cast that devil out?
He said, because your unbelief. They'd been casting him out before. All of a sudden, they run in one, just won't come out. So they said to Jesus, why couldn't we cast? He said, your unbelief, how be it? He said, though, this kind cometh not but by prayer and what? Then what in the world does fasting have to do with your unbelief? Because we're talking about the worst kind, the kind you don't even know you have. Like, there's a child that's deaf and I'm just praying like crazy for him and nothing happens. So all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking in. You're going, oh, please come over here. I need to talk to you. And he says, excuse me. And he goes and opens his ears. He says, yes, what is it you want to know? As much as it would hurt, I'd say, why didn't you do that when I prayed? Why didn't you do that? Because of your unbelief. I said, my God, if I had it, I didn't know it. I milked every cell for all the faith that was in it. I prayed my hardest prayer, and you're telling me it's because of my unbelief. So they said, why couldn't we cast it out? They genuinely didn't know, and he gave them the same answer, because of your unbelief. Then he said, how be it? This kind got not but by prayer. I know how prayer affects it. But then he added fasting, and fasting has something to do with that special brand of kind of unbelief. Sometimes you don't even know that you have.
Well, do you know how it affects it?
Yes, I do, but that's a whole nother 5 or 6 takes. Then, and it came time to add assimilation, meditation. He taught me how the soul worked. When he added that key, it drastically changed my life as much as anybody around me. Some of the first things he said to me, every scripture is a stroke of the brush, and verily is building towards the completion of the entire picture. I thought, my God. And he taught me how the mind worked, how the soul worked. In fact, so much so that the psychologist of the police department, he came for counseling. Do you have any doctorates? I got two or three of them, but they're lost somewhere in drawers. I don't know. They're honorary. I misplaced them, I think. I'm not belittling, really. But he taught me so much about it. And I'll say this much. Does a child go to a missionary field at 6 years old, seven? Stand up on the plane wing and declare, I will learn the language of this country. No. Because his soul reaches out, the assimilation, his mind, will, intellect, and emotion all work together to reach out, apprehend that language, and assimilate it without even him trying. Most of you only use your intellect. I tried that when I wanted to learn a new language. Portuguese. So I listened to the tape and I got there. Somebody grabbed my bag. Obrigado. The crying shame is you have three more attributes lying in the wing that's begging you to be used. We don't know how to tap into them. Tell me about your mind. How come you can read a paragraph and can't quote it back to me unless you have a photographic memory? Why can't you? You read a paragraph, you can't quote it right back to me and put it down. Yet you read it 20 or 30 times and you can. If you could do it after 30 times, that means you had a capacity. Why couldn't you do it the first time? Whatever that is you harnessed, you can harness it in meditation. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth the way of sinners, set in the seat of the scornful, his delights in the Word of God. In it does he meditate day and night. Well, then what is meditation? It's not just study, though it assists it. It's not memorization, though that assists meditation. Meditation's that unique way the Holy Spirit can get involved with you to take the revelation knowledge that left the heart of God, reconstruct it in your heart in such a way that you can understand it. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Your root system has tapped into the rivers of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have a harvest every due season. That was the meditation key. I mean, that's just a little bit. Wait till we get to worship. And then the one key is fathomless. I can't find the end of it. The love of God. There's no end. Every time I think I got it, more. Well, this I know. He loves you. Everything that is going to pass with a loud noise and a fervent heat. Only thing that's going to survive all that is your spirit. It's going to give you a new heaven and new earth. At 10 billion years from now, the kid sleeping in an alley in India is going to be somewhere. It's not going to be gone. This is why I'm here. I don't do anything else. I don't want anything else. We're called to a revival. Soundness of doctrine and truth. sanity of mind. An outpouring of the miraculous so powerful that even the Einsteins are going to have to admit there's a God and family.